This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.
Hello, this is Activity Quest, the podcast all about getting out and about. I'm your host Robin, and in this episode, if you go down to the woods today, you're sure of a treat to find Anna Louise. Yep, she's off to a magical enchanted woodland, and there might be a few fluffy friends to find en route to. Bex is chatting to artist Liz West all about her work. It's all to do with colour and light, and she's telling us how you can get your work in an art gallery. We're finding out what there is to do near you, from axe throwing to escape rooms and loads more in our guide of what's on across the UK. And then we're visiting the mini Motley farm to rummage through some bramberries and pick some juicy blackberries. Every week on Activity Quest, we get out and about and find out what's happening near you. Now, here's a question. Have you ever been to explore a lost garden? Well, Reuters, the Lost Garden of Sevenoaks is a magical 11-acre woodland full of wildlife, nature, bushcraft and alpacas. It's a place where families can run wild and go adventuring. Anna Louise went to investigate, and she started on the Fairy Trail, and this is the highest part of the Enchanted Woods.
I'm standing in the middle of a huge forest, Reuters, the Lost Garden of Sevenoaks. We've trekked up a huge hill surrounded by trees of every kind, plants and shrubbery, and it feels like mystery is around every single corner. Claire Price is the owner. Claire, where are we heading off to?
We're heading to one of the highest points of the Lost Gardens, and we're walking up Raspit Hill.
I can feel that we're heading to the summit, Claire. This takes some mountaineering, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is where some of our very fit boot campers run up on a daily basis. Yeah, this is a really beautiful part. And what is so interesting is that here at the Lost Gardens, we have alpaca treks through the 11 acres of woodland. The alpacas come from Peru, and they're used to living in the mountains, looking after all of the livestock. And when they come to this summit, they get really skittish and really excited because this high part resonates with their nature. When they come up here, they immediately recognise their home terrain.
Oh, they feel like they're back at home.
Isn't it wonderful?
And it's so lovely, yeah, that you've been able to create that for them.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've got some amazing South American trees here. So it seemed a really nice parallel to have the alpacas and the trees.
We're marching up a very steep hill and it's really earthy underfoot with lots of bracken and leaves, and we're tripping up over the roots and scrambling up the rocks. And I've just come at the top of the hill to an opening, a clearing in the woodland, and it looks like some sort of beautiful, natural ceremony space almost. There are logs and tree stumps scattered around in a circle. It looks perfect for sitting down, lighting a fire and telling a few stories. What do you reckon, Claire?
Yeah, it's a really enticing part of the landscape, isn't it? And so to our left, if you can see through the dense tree canopy,
you've
got an amazing enclosure that the children that they work on when we have bushcraft workshops and parties, overlooked by our wise owl, which is part of the fairy trail.
So this is another incredible sculpture. All along the way you can find these animal carvings hidden in amongst the trees
and little wire beautiful fairies hanging from the trees. So there's a whole trail and it's like a treasure hunt. You go to the cafe, start, have a little folder with all of the clues that you can sign off, and the children absolutely adore it, and they have 11 acres to meander and explore.
Kids get to come along, build bivvies, build these natural wooden tree-inspired installations almost, these big creations where you can make your own enclosures and habitats and dens in the woods.
Absolutely. I think particularly as a result of, you know, the pandemic, I think people are realising both the safety of being outside, but also how nurturing and healing the natural landscape is. So it's very important for us that we encourage young people to get out as much as possible, get away from the screens, and we have
run down hills like we're doing now. We are grabbing hold of branches as we go down almost a vertical drop.
It's fun, isn't it?
We're skipping down.
We're grabbing onto every tree that we can as we scramble down the sheer drop. And I'm finding my footing in the earth, making sure I can get a grip before I jump down the next level to the next earthy track.
We're just past a adder house. And can you hear the munching that we're starting to...
I'm guessing that's not an adder.
No, I don't think that they munch very much grass, but Nuzzle and Scratch love it.
Here they are, the alpacas at Reuters.
And I have to introduce a very talented alpaca whisperer. And this is Zoe. And she speaks total alpaca language.
They're saying that this is their favourite time of the day, coming out for a good munch from the grass. Scratch will probably live up to his name and have a little roll around in a second as well, I should think.
And Scratch is the bit of the free spirit.
Yeah, that's right.
We're going to take them for a walk. We have to disturb him from his picnic.
Give him a little tug and that's it, good boy.
I'm clicking at him.
You are a natural.
Well, I'm clicking at him like a horse, Zoe. Do they respond to the clicks?
Just nice, gentle sort of sounds and encouragement.
Good boy. Well, Nuzzle seems very calm walking by my side. He's looking in the bushes. He's seeing what he can see through the leaves. He's listening to the sounds of a truck in the distance. He's sussing out the atmosphere, and I'm taking his lead. I'm just standing at his shoulder, side by side, giving him lots of reassurance.
Yes, you are.
He's eyeing up your pocket, Zoe, for treats. He can see. Oh, he's stamping his foot. He wants his treats now, he's saying. And we've come back to Alpaca HQ, where I think their dinner is waiting.
Yeah, we've got some. They love carrot and they love apple. So you've got the treat of giving them a nice feast.
Oh, to top it off, Claire, I've just been spat at by Scratch. I was feeding too many carrots and apple to his mate and he's getting a bit jealous. He's definitely the territorial one, isn't he? The dominant
one. Yes, they're both lovely natured, but one is sweeter natured than the other one.
One likes to hog the carrots.
Yes, definitely. Sorry about that.
I may have been spat on, but I've absolutely loved my time with the alpacas and at Reuters. And I've just found out that alpacas... Claire, they know how to sing.
They absolutely know how to sing. When they feel a little bit nervous, they start to hum to each other and they sway and they go, nothing bad can happen to us when we're singing our little happy song.
Singing alpacas. I think I've heard it all now. Thanks, Anna Louise. Reuters.com is the place to go to find out more. That is spelled reuters.com. Remember, if you try anything we mention on Activity Quest, tell us. One of the ways you can do this is by leaving a 5-star review. Here are some people who have done just that. Zombie Dude on Apple Podcasts says, this podcast is the best. Thank you so much. Geriatric Prime, Rainbow Unicorn, Silly Sloth, and Oh No You Didn't. Thanks for your reviews too. You might remember that last week Delilah spoke to her hula hooping instructor. Now, we've had an email from Daisy in Maidenhead who says, I go hula hooping every week. It's something that I wasn't very good at when I started, but I'm getting better. And the key is to stick with it. Well, thank you so much for your email, Daisy. Remember, we want to hear what you're up to out and about. So get in touch at funkidslive.com/activityquest. You can send us your thoughts as a video or an audio clip. You can upload photos too, and we might use them in future episodes. Now, every week we ask you to leave some emojis in the review section of your podcast app too. And this week, I want to see anything that reminds you of art. Painters, palettes, or just loads of colours. That's because Bex is chatting to an artist right now. Her name is Liz West. She makes installations out of lights and lots of colour and has a way for you to get involved.
Now, I've been, not to sound weird about it, but I've been doing a little bit of a following of your art and I love it so much. It is full of colour and full of life. It's amazing.
Thank you so much. Where have you been stalking me?
Well, it's best not to talk about that right now. No, your artwork is beautiful because I'm a big fan of using colour. And it seems to be the thing you use a lot of and use really well.
Yes, it is my first passion in life, I guess. And from a very, very young age, I've been obsessed with colour and light. So it seems a good thing to be making a career out of it as an artist.
It's just lovely. It feels like bright and feels hopeful, I think, using colour. Can you explain to our listeners, like, maybe a piece of art where it's been really important to you, or like how you've put it out there in the world?
I mean, I just always am looking. Wherever I go, I've got my head in the sky, and I think the world is a really fascinating place. There's so many amazing colours to look at in nature and in architecture and design, and obviously in art as well. And I take that all on board when I'm thinking about what I make. My palette is really bright. Often I use the colours of the materials that are available to me, so I'm limiting myself there. But, you know, for as long as I remember, I was making collections of vivid, very bright colours.
Now, I've just realised, and I called you an artist at the beginning of the interview, but a lot of our listeners might not realise that art doesn't really necessarily mean painting. It can mean like what you do, which is kind of more immersive stuff.
Exactly. And it's a really good point. Everyone always says, oh, what do you do? And I say, I'm an artist. Oh, what do you paint? No, I don't paint. I can't paint, actually. I'm a poor painter. Yeah, my work is installation and sculpture based, and it's very immersive. So I like to make big rooms and environments that people can step into and be completely transported to another place.
I have had a look at your Colourways exhibition as well online. This is in Cheltenham, is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about that one?
Oh, this is a funny one because obviously it is locked in because the Cheltenham is closed.
Yeah.
I went to install it at the beginning of March, and during the install period, there was a team of people. The director came in and said, hey, guys, we're going to have to close from tonight. So it's up to you if you want to stay and finish up or go home. And we felt it was best to kind of finish because no one knew what was going to happen. But the exhibition is there and it's waiting for it to be reopened. And we don't know when that's going to be. And it's got quite a lot of my works, both on paper. It's got light installations that are very colourful. It's a whole mix of my practice from the last 10 years.
So is it the kind of thing we could walk through and see lots of colour and lots of different mediums? Like, how does it work?
Yes, you would walk in and you would see, first off, a big, vibrant colour wheel installation made of fluorescent lights in a stack. So it's big, it's about 2.5 metres wide, and you walk around it and all the walls and yourself would be saturated with bright colours. So that's like the first sculpture that you would see. The next piece is a collection of paintings. Now, I know that I've just said that I'm not a painter, but these are not paintings by me. This was a project that I instigated where I asked people in the community to paint me a colour wheel. So that would be a really good thing to do at home for anyone listening, because I could give you the rules right now and you could contribute to the exhibition if you wanted.
Ah, you've beat me to it. That's exactly what I wanted from you. Tell us, how can we get involved?
Well, it's amazing how we all have different perceptions of colour and how they're mixed. And so this really was a project on thinking about how we all have different interpretations of what a colour wheel is. So what you do is you grab a piece of paper and you get your paints out. And I just want you to use red, yellow and blue, which are the primary colours. And from those primary colours, you can mix any other colour, which is magical, I think. You can always use white as well, because in a colour wheel, it's important to sometimes pale down the colours to make them pastel shades. So mix your own colours and paint a colour wheel for me. Now, one thing that I don't want to do is dictate too much what that looks like, because that's up to you guys to decide. Because if they all look the same, it would be a boring exhibition.
That's true. So we could, I mean, could you make a, I mean, I know it's a wheel, but could you make it into like a square shape, but just with all the colours going around? Or could you make it have different kind of like plastic or paper?
Well, the rules are that you have to mix the ink or the paint.
Right. Okay.
However, there has been some rebels and people have collaged and people have used all sorts of things. And I think when I first proposed this idea to an exhibition about 3 years ago, not in Cheltenham, but one in Leeds, the curators were like, we're just going to end up with 20 colour wheels, which all looks the same, and that's not going to be interesting. But actually, everyone was absolutely amazed at the difference in everybody's imaginations. And that's the beauty of people, I think.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, I've been online to the website and I've seen some of the colour wheels up there and some of the different versions. And like you say, you're being encouraged to send in the ones you make at home to the art gallery. Is that right?
That is absolutely right. Yes, please.
I think that's such an amazing, I mean, personally, I mean, for this podcast, absolutely bang on, because we are giving activities to do at home. So this is great, because not only can you do it at home, you can also send in and maybe go visit your artwork. So technically you will have artwork displayed in a gallery, which is pretty cool, right?
Absolutely. You know, the artwork is, it's called Our Colour Wheel. And what will happen to the artworks afterwards, they'll go into a massive archive collection of everybody's colour wheels from all over the world. So unfortunately, people won't get them back, but they'll belong to this amazing collection, which I will keep very well and safely. And maybe they'll be exhibited again sometime as well in the future. And all the instructions are actually on the Wilson Cheltenham's website. So if people want to actually follow the rules properly instead of my short brief version, then yeah, they can go on the website and check it out. And I would love to see what people create at home. And mums and dads, you get involved as well. It's not just limited to the little ones, so go for it.
Brilliant stuff. Oh well, Liz, thank you so much for chatting to us, and good luck with your many installations coming up.
Oh, thank you so much.
Perhaps try that if you're at home this weekend, using red, yellow and blue, mix colours and create your own colour wheel. You can send it to the Wilson Art Gallery in Cheltenham, who may display it when it reopens. So the address is Colourways Exhibition, the Wilson Art Gallery and Museum, Clarence Street, Cheltenham, GL503JT. All the info is at cheltenhammuseum.org.uk. Remember to show us too, so send us a pic and upload what you make at funkidslive.com/activityquest. All right, it's time to find out what's on elsewhere.
On the off chance that you haven't spent enough time stuck inside recently, how do you fancy locking yourself in a room for an hour and trying to escape? Well, clued up escape rooms in Norwich are open, with a range of games to play for 2 to 8 players, from bank heists to prison breaks. Your job is to find clues and escape the room before the time runs out. ClueduPEscapes.co.uk is the place to find out more and to book. Now, Axed in Lincoln is great for anyone that wants to let off some steam. It's an axe-throwing arena with 4 dedicated lanes and 6 games to choose from. Think of it a little like bowling, but with axes. A bit more dangerous. It's £20 per person, with a maximum of 6 to a group. It's suitable for anyone over 10 years old. You'll learn to throw with guidance from trained experts. See what I did there? Before you play. Axed-lincoln.co.uk is the address. And finally, climb aboard the Streetlife Museum of Transport in Hull and enjoy all of the sights and sounds and smells of the past, because admission to Streetlife Museum is free, which is great, and you'll experience 200 years of transport history as you walk down a 1940s high street, board a tram, or enjoy the pleasures of a carriage ride. It takes about an hour to do. Time slots are available every 15 minutes, Monday to Saturday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Book your visit online, just search Streetlife Museum Hull.
And as always with those things, the guidance on what we can and can't do is changing every week. So please check before you travel and book in advance where you can. Something you can always rely on, though, is Anna Louise and her farm. She has 100 rescue, rare breed and homebred animals on Mini Motley Farm. Everything from miniature horses to miniature sheep, miniature chickens, guinea fowl, guinea pigs, pheasants, rabbits, hatching chicks and more. The autumn is slowly creeping in, and at this time of year, it's all about blackberries. Let's go hunting through the hedgerows with Anna Louise and her mum. She's an author. Her name is Ruth Doyle. And we'll find what treasures they can pick in the brambles.
We're big on foraging and scavenging on the farm, particularly for the animals, picking different weeds and natural herbs that they can eat to supplement their diet, whether it be the chickens, the guinea pigs, the rabbits, or for the horses as well. And the blackberries are 100% a family favourite, not just for us. But when we pick it, it's almost like one for me, one for later, one for Winnie, one for Diesel, one for Wilson, because the horses absolutely adore blackberries. And normally if we've been working them or training them, we'll take them to the blackberry hedges as a very special treat. We're at the hedges now. Still a very muggy evening, but the taste of those blackberries makes it all worth it. You used to pick blackberries as a child.
Yeah, we did, in the little lanes around Tunbridge in Kent. We used to get to choose a box, a little punnet, whichever size, whichever one we preferred. And then the idea was that we had to fill them up. And we used to eat lots of them, of course.
Did you ever actually fill the box up to the top?
No. Or if I did, by the time I got home again, because we used to walk quite a long way, half of it was gone.
Oh, there's something so beautiful about the taste, isn't there?
Yeah.
When you eat them, do the memories come piling back in?
Yeah, I think they do, don't they? It's the taste of late summer and childhood and sweet things, natural sweet things.
Time travel. Oh, I keep getting a really deliciously ripe one and then a real horrid sharp one. A shocker.
You get the shockers. They come to teach you a lesson if you've eaten too many.
I know you've always said to me, never take the ones at the bottom. As I reach as far as I can, good job I've got long arms. There's something really satisfying about picking your food, isn't there? About hunting for your food.
It goes back a long way, doesn't it? It goes back to our roots. And also, it's all provided for us by nature, isn't it? It's all just here. And it just tastes gorgeous with no additives. Pure, pure food.
And completely free.
And totally free.
I'm not collecting many for later. Let's head up through the gate. I saw another clutch of blackberry bushes blooming the other day. I didn't get a chance to pick any. Keeping my eyes wide open for blackberries. I was trying to reach out the car window the other day to pick these. They look like they're just slightly... Let's see. Only one way to find out. Taste test. No, perfect these. They're not sharp at all. And they're not gone either. There's something so therapeutic, isn't there, about blackberry picking? Well, pick your own any kind of fruit. If you go out and about to a local farm and pick your own. Or you just see a hedge of blackberries out on a walk. Very therapeutic.
Yeah, and you're also sort of in your own mind deciding which ones look the tastiest, which ones look the juiciest, and they're all different colours and sizes. And I always used to think the shiniest fruit always tasted the best. That's what I thought. I'm not sure if that's at all true, but any fruit that has a sheen on it always appeals to me.
Oh, I never knew
like,
that.
It's kind of like looking, well, like when you're on the beach and you sift through the pebbles and you're looking for different shells or different coloured pebbles that you really like and appeal to the eye. So there's that sense of hunting for treasure involved when you go foraging.
Not even the birds around. There's no bird song.
It's too hot. Oh, there's one.
Just as I said it.
Just to prove us
I'm
wrong.
I'm here. Can't you hear me? But yeah, it's very, very quiet. And it's just so peaceful. Oh, I've hit a jackpot here.
Yeah, and you can literally take as much as you want. No one's restraining you.
A feast, an absolute feast.
You can only have so many sweets, and then that's your lot. It's like, I'm going to pick as much as I want and eat a lot.
And me, just like the horses, after they've been feasting, I'm covered. My fingers are bright purple right now. I'm covered in juice. And my lips, I think, looks like I'm wearing a nice shade of violet lipstick. But I guess we better stop there for the evening and leave some for the horses tomorrow.
It's only fair.
You just need to rustle us up some blackberry jam now, Mum.
Oh, no.
Anna Louise and her mum, Ruth, blackberry picking on their farm at Mini Motley Farm. Oh, blackberry jam sounds good, doesn't it? Obviously, if you're out foraging for some food, do be careful about what you pick and eat. If you're unsure about anything, it's probably best not to touch it. And of course, get the help of a grown-up too. All right, that's all from us today. If you're at home this weekend, try making one of those colour wheels like Liz suggested. You could try some blackberry picking, or you can always head to the Lost Garden of Sevenoaks if that one's near you. Whatever you do, tell us at funkidslive.com/activity quiz. And remember to rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening to this. I've been Robin and we'll see you next week. Bye.
So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB Digital Radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.